This morning scripture reading will come from Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Colossians 2, 6 through 7. Therefore, as you have received Christ the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude.
Good morning, everyone. One more time. Good morning, everyone. All right. You have a lot to be thankful for this morning. It's great to see everyone here. We have a beautiful day. Beautiful day this morning. And it's always a beautiful day when we get to come and spend time worshiping the Lord. This morning, and kind of keeping with our theme, I want to talk to you about what gratitude can do. What gratitude can do. I want to begin this morning reading to you from a couple of excerpts from George Washington's first Thanksgiving proclamation back in 1789. He begins, "Whereas it is the duty of nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly implore His protection, aid, and favors." A little bit later, he continues, "Now therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of the great and glorious being, who is the beneficent author of all good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks." Quite a proclamation from our first president. And there's a number of very interesting thoughts in there that we could talk about. Washington's acknowledgement of God, the Almighty God, that as a country we should be obedient to God's will. But this morning I want to focus on Thanksgiving and having gratitude in our lives. You know, some form of that word thanks appears, if I counted correctly, around 140 times in the English Bible. So obviously, people of the Scripture, God's people, are supposed to be known as being thankful and having thankful hearts. But have you ever considered why it is so necessary that we give thanks to God? Have you ever considered that? Why it's so necessary? You know, it's not because He needs it necessarily. He desires it, we know that. And He is certainly deserving of our thanks because He provides every good thing and every perfect gift that we receive. James chapter 1, verse 17. But you know, Scripture also teaches us that we need to give thanks because of what gratitude will do for us in our lives. We need to express gratitude, thankfulness to God. And it certainly will do marvelous things for us in our Christian walk. So this morning, I want to look briefly at five areas where having gratitude and what that will do for us in our Christian walk. First, gratitude can give us the desire to serve God. Gratitude can give us the desire to serve God. You know, those who genuinely appreciate what God has done for them, they'll gladly obey His will and they'll serve Him. We can always look to the example of Paul in many areas because he's such a wonderful example to us. And he was so thankful for God's mercy and His grace. So thankful that he was willing to do anything for the cause of Christ. Anything for the Lord's cause. If you want to turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul is writing to Timothy here. And in verses 12 through 17, we'll look at that. Let's look at the text there. It says, Paul writes, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of the Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason, I found perfect patience. Yet for this reason, I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And in this passage we read, we can see where Paul's thanksgiving, his gratitude, his love just overflows for God and for Jesus and for what they have done for him. Essentially, Paul here is saying he's the prime example that Christ is willing to save anyone who's willing to repent and obey the gospel. You know, and at the time this passage was written, which was a number of years after his conversion, even after all those years and his years of service to the Lord, Paul was still very amazed and very grateful that Jesus had saved him. Paul was thankful for the many blessings he received, including salvation. But if you look at the passage, note that Paul's words of appreciation actually begin with the job that the Lord had given him to do. He said, he thanked Jesus, Christ Jesus our Lord, and he said, he considered me faithful, putting me into service. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 16, Paul stated that Jesus had given him a special task, a very special task of service, and that was to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul was very thankful that the Lord trusted him enough to carry out the task that was assigned to him. And it was a monumental task that he had given him. We should look to the example of Paul. And likewise, we should be very thankful for the blessing of salvation and that opportunity that we have for service to the Lord. You know, God not only delivers us from the kingdom of darkness, and then he delivers us to the kingdom of his Son, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. But he also gives us something vital to do in the kingdom. He infuses our life with meaning. And being thankful allows us to be good servants. And as Paul wrote to Titus, we can be those who are zealous for good works. And be zealous for good works. So gratitude can give us the desire to serve God. Secondly, gratitude can give us peace of mind. Gratitude can give us peace of mind. You know, someone said it's not the happy people that are thankful. It's the thankful people that are happy. You know, gratitude or thanksgiving helps us certainly to keep our focus and fix our eyes on those brighter things of life. It helps to erase that anxiety that stands in the way of peace. If you turn over to Philippians chapter 4, very familiar passage to us. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be made known to all men. The Lord is near. And be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Paul here notes that our prayers, you know, should be filled with thanksgiving to God. Thanks freely given from a heart that just overflows with gratitude when we're talking to God. You know, our prayers shouldn't just be a wish list of our wants, a long list of this is what I think I need. They should be full of thanking God. And it improves our outlook because we recognize, we also rejoice in all the blessings that God has given to us. That's why we sing the song, Count Your Many Blessings. And I'll refer to that a few times. Count your many blessings. Every doubt will fly when we focus on all what we've been given. And Paul here is saying, if we rejoice always, and if we make our requests known to God in every circumstance through prayer with thanksgiving, then we'll have the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension. And we can have that peace of God. And it's the peace that only God gives. And it's the peace that only He can give. The peace of God is so wonderful and maybe so amazing that it can't even be comprehended, understood by human minds. And think about that. That's the peace that we get from God. And this peace guards our hearts and our minds in Christ. The hearts and the minds that Paul writes about refers to the entire inner being of a Christian. You know, the heart is the emotional side of things. The thoughts are the mind, right? So the fact that it guards our hearts and our minds, our entire inner being, should provide us a sense of security as Christians when we put all matters in God's hands. And it's only when we put all matters into God's hands. And it is the inner man that's guarded, right? It's not the outer man. You know, like a citizen that lives in a very walled city, you know, they're completely protected. They're just kind of going about their business every day because they're not concerned about their safety because they know they're safe and protected. Maybe possibly one barrier to peace is maybe not understanding what peace is. We may not fully understand what real peace is. You know, many want God to guard that outer man. We want to be surrounded by peaceful circumstances. We want to have absence of strife in our life. That'd be wonderful. Probably I think of the Garden of Eden, maybe as that. But that's not the situation we're in, nor did God promise that type of protection to us. But He did promise to guard our hearts and our minds, regardless of what happens to our bodies around us. And these promises are for, as Paul writes, those who are in Christ, right? Those who are obedient to His will. And maybe we can look at peace as not the absence of trouble, but it's the presence of the Lord. Peace would be the presence of the Lord. So Christians can live beyond anxiety. We can live beyond nervousness and emotional tensions that might be facing us. But the reason is because we can take our request directly to God, being thankful for what He's done for us. Thanking Him for all the blessings helps us to recognize all of those countless blessings that we have received, and it should provide peace in our lives. We have many reasons to rejoice and be thankful for what God has done for us. I'll give you a few. I think the list could almost be endless. We could spend a lot of time on this, but let me give you a few to get started. Alan mentioned one this morning. We could be thankful for our salvation of sins when they are washed away through baptism. We can be thankful that we have assurance that truth will triumph in the end. We can be thankful for the hope, that confident expectation we have in Christ, that as Christians, our names are written in heaven, that we have fellowship with God, that God is our Father who loves us and He cares for us, that Christ intercedes for us. You know, He knows our weaknesses, and He's going to be pleading with the Father on our behalf for His sustaining power to strengthen us in whatever circumstance we're going to be facing. So we must pray, and when we pray, we must always remember three things, right? Three things. One, we must remember the love of God, which only ever desires what's best for us. We must remember the wisdom of God, which alone knows what is best for us. And we must remember the power of God, which alone can bring about that which is best for us. So everyone who prays with a trust in the love and the wisdom and the power of God will find God's peace. And for this, we can be very, very thankful. Thirdly, gratitude can contribute to spiritual strength. Gratitude can contribute to spiritual strength. You know, it's not easy to face all the trials and the temptations that we have every day. It can become a burden to us, or feel like they are a burden to us. You know, the inner strength required to be patient and long-suffering, though, is associated with giving thanks. We should only be thankful to God for when things go our way, but we should also be thankful to Him in times of trial, because we know that the testing of our faith produces endurance, the strengthening of our faith, essentially. James chapter 1, verse 3. So people who are strong in faith will be overflowing with gratitude. If we look at Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, our scripture reading this morning, Paul writes, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." We need to be overflowing with gratitude for what Christ did for us and what we have in Him. We can be thankful for the blessings we have from godly living, the strength we need to endure trials, freedom from the guilt of sin we have, and fellowship with the Lord and other Christians. There are some more items to be thankful for. The realization that these benefits, though, come from God and they're not from our own personal achievement should lead us to an adoration of God, who is the source of all blessings. And our gain through Christ, then, should fill our hearts with thanksgiving. The gratitude that we have in Christ should lead to a contentment as well in our lives, which should provide that very stabilizing and strengthening influence for us. We should be thankful for what we have in Christ, because when we know how valuable it is, when we know how valuable it is what we actually have in Christ, we won't be so willing to give it up, right? We're not going to be so willing to give up what we have. So not only do we have eternal life through Christ, but we have every spiritual blessing. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, which leads to abundant spiritual living. Right? John chapter 10, verse 10. No one else can meet our spiritual needs, giving us the strength we need to live faithfully, to face all those trials and the temptations. This likewise should fill our hearts with thanksgiving. Fourthly, gratitude can increase harmony among Christians. Gratitude can increase harmony among Christians. You know, thankful Christians and thankful people, actually, are not as likely to struggle in their relationships with others and other Christians. If you turn over to 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verses 12 through 15, Paul addresses living in harmony and our relationship with others when he writes, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people." I believe we can look at Christianity as a relationship. It's a relationship, it's a friendship, it's a fellowship that we have with God through Christ. And God planned for our relationship with Him to be reflected in our relationship with others. This passage tells us that we have responsibilities to church leaders and to other Christians, giving whatever good we can to these individuals, trying to create a situation of peace and love. And that not only reflects our maturity as Christians, but also the thankfulness for what we have in Christ. Because trying to help others as God would want us to do, it's some of the most important work that we have in front of us as Christians. Now you may ask, well, how can I accomplish that? Well, in verses 16 through 18 of the passage there in 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul tells us how to accomplish that effort. Three short statements. He says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God, or God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So Paul tells us when we rejoice always, we pray without ceasing, and we give thanks in everything. It constitutes the way God wants us to live and act in Christ, in His body. In other words, in His family. Being thankful for and treasuring what God has done for us will equip us to be those loving and forgiving and patient helpers that God wants us to be. And finally, gratitude can keep us and help keep us from a path of sin. Gratitude can help to keep us from a path of sin. If you turn over to Romans chapter 1, over in Romans chapter 1, and in verses 18 through 32, and we won't take time to read that passage, Paul shows how people can sink through sin and ignoring God. Paul states that these people finally reach the point of just being wicked and immoral. And interestingly, Paul notes that this tragic process begins when people are unthankful. They're unthankful. If you look at verse 21, Romans chapter 1, verse 21, Paul writes, for even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. You know, Paul in this passage really is stating these individuals will accept the life that God has provided to them, the air that they breathe that God's given to them. They enjoy the sun and the heat that it provides, that He created, the rain that He sends, the lead of all the harvests, and enjoy that, that God provides. They'll enjoy these and all the other gifts, but they'll never take time to say, thank you, God. Thank you. These individuals were ignoring God. So what was the result? When people ignored God and rejected the truth that God gave them, Paul says their hearts became foolish and they were filled with darkness. They were undiscerning. Essentially, they had extinguished the light God had given them. Paul continues in this passage to describe people who have departed from God, with his conclusion saying the end result is one of unrighteousness. It's one of wickedness, those being evil and haters of God. You know, unfortunately, we still live in a world that fails to glorify God and thank Him for all of His great blessings. Maybe at times we're also not as thankful as we should be for the blessings that we have and in expressing our gratitude to God. We need to be continually thankful to God for all that He has done. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, Paul describes God as the one who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Let us always be thankful for and counting our blessings, because that will help us to remain faithful to God. We do have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to be thankful for. And it's no wonder that the Bible calls so often for us to be thankful and to give thanksgiving to God. Because a sincere spirit of gratitude is just a giant step forward to a better life. You know, this morning, we haven't really talked about baptism, but there may be those who are thankful for the offer of salvation that we have, that we've been extended. We've been extended God's grace. And there may be those that are ready to receive that grace through repentance and confession and baptism for the remission of their sins. There may be others that are just struggling with things that are going on in their lives. There may be issues that you're facing. You just need help and support from a congregation. I just ask that if there's any spiritual need that you have this morning, that you come now. Let that request be known as we stand and sing our song of invitation.